Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX. Amy is out. I got Brad Young with me. I'm Chris Ranji, and it is time to go to the guest line this morning. And Lindy Drew is the co-founder, lead storyteller, and co-author of Humans of St. Louis. It is a nonprofit sharing first-person stories and photographic portraits featuring people and places throughout St. Louis. And we thought, in the aftermath of the tornado, and Lindy actually having spoken to some folks who live on the north side in the aftermath of the tornado, thought Lindy would be really good to talk to today. And we appreciate your time, Lindy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on here, specifically for what's going on in our city right now.
Can you tell people first about Humans of St. Louis a little bit more and better description than I just gave?
Sure. So my team and I basically go out on the streets with our cameras and we interview strangers and we ask them very open-ended questions in hopes of getting an original story from them that's only happened from them. And then we share it on our platform, which is on Facebook, Instagram, and we just launched on LinkedIn as well. So we're a 501c3. We've been around for a decade. And really the idea is to have a one-on-one conversation with a stranger and then see how far you can take it in a city where there's a lot of divides, but yet once you get out of your car or off your bike or you initiate some kind of conversation, you notice that we're all just alike. And it's a really beautiful thing to have an intimate moment with a stranger, especially in a city like St. Louis.
Lindy, Brad Young here. Why is it, why is it important to not only chronicle these stories, but also to record them and to save these stories? Why is that important?
Well, for me personally, I moved to St. Louis like 11 years ago, and I didn't know anything about St. Louis before I got there. I did a search on Google and it talks about sports teams and the weather and like typical things that you might hear from a flyover city as an outsider. But when you actually, you know, make an art piece out of having conversations with folks, and then you amplify their voices so more people can tune in and hear what life is like for them, then there's an opportunity for connection there. And the reason we have it on a social media page is so that people can jump into the conversation and maybe they relate to someone or they learn something new about their city that they didn't know before. And that creates community connections and more pride in the area.
Where did you get the idea for this?
Well, Humans of New York has been around for years. Okay. I had never heard of it.
I wondered if this was something in relation to that. Yeah.
It is. So we launched it basically based off of it. And since then, hundreds of human sites have popped up all over the world. And so we're one of many, but we feed it consistently. And the people who started it are myself, along with a couple other social work students from the Brown School. And so we have a social justice lens on the work that we do and the way that we interview and ask permissions and follow up and include people. So every site's really different and who runs it's different. But the way we try to do it is with a lot of heart. And it's been pretty well received by our community. So we keep feeding it.
You talk about being well received, Lindy, but your book has sold out the first run and you've had to go into a second run on the book. So this is, in fact, being well received, isn't it?
We have. It's been really well received. So we decided a while ago to self-publish because we saw other Humans of Sites had books around the world and we wanted to put our city on the map too. So we started with a Kickstarter and then a few years later, we were able to go to print and we sold out of 2,000 copies in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And so fortunately, from the help of Regional Arts Commission, they backed our second print run. So we were able to order 5,000 copies And now we have just a little under 2,000 to still get into people's hands.
Well, you mentioned self-publishing, but doesn't that allow you to have greater editorial control over the book itself by self-publishing as opposed to submitting it to a company and then having their corporate editor change the book?
It totally does. So because we self-published, we got to choose who we wanted on the cover and the back cover. We got to choose the colors and the design and the font, how big it was going to be, how the intro was. It took us an incredible amount of time to build, but we got a team of about 25 creatives together to help do it. So that was nice too, to choose who was going to be on the team and what kind of lens we were going to use to start to weave the stories together. So at that time, we had like maybe 2,500 that we had shared publicly, and we had to whittle that down to 400 stories. That was the hard part, but we did it. And now the book's available so people can, not only have a piece of Humans of St. Louis from the online version, but they can have it on their coffee tables or at home or to gift to people as well.
You can also follow Humans of St. Louis on Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook. And since you've had so much success with this book, maybe this is a way up. Maybe I'm asking this question too soon, but is this the sort of thing that you would like to do again?
Probably not.
Okay.
This
It's
was
a lot
such
of
a
work.
colossal undertaking. Yeah, it was a lot of work. And honestly, our site has a really large and dedicated following, but we're a small team that ends up making a large impact through the storytelling that we do. But to make a book was such a colossal effort that that's probably going to be the only go around that this team does. If another team ends up taking over after us, like they have my full support, but this was a major endeavor. So we're proud that we were able to put it together.
The website you mentioned, by the way, humansofstl.org, if people want to go there.
Lindy,
That's it.
of all the excuse me, of all the interviews that you did, what surprised you the most? In other words, as you were talking to folks, you're going to hear a lot of stories of struggles, and you're going to hear stories of hopefully overcoming those struggles. But what surprised you the most?
So when you ask, are you thinking about just in general the storytelling that we do or the
Right.
storytelling because of current
I
events?
mean, in terms of someone that you talked to, and it was completely unexpected story that someone was telling you.
What really shocks me the most is that every time I approach someone new on the street that I don't know, that I'm just walking with my camera and I walk up to them to say, hello, this is our site. Would you mind doing an interview and a photograph? It shocks me that time and time again, so many people say yes. Sometimes they've never heard of Humans of St. Louis before, and they're down to try. Sometimes they have heard of it, and they'll say, oh man, I don't have a story to tell. I read the types of things that are on your site. But then we try, and all of a sudden, it's so poetic what they end up sharing and how they answer these random questions that I'll ask them. So to me, like, that's the best part about the project. And a lot of the times, well, I was going to say, a lot of times we don't have to like publish it. Sometimes it's just the conversation between the storyteller and a stranger to also just promote the city and get to know someone in our city.
It's funny that people are so open to do it. Maybe they're just starving to have real interaction because we're, I mean, yeah, we in our daily lives, we will have human interactions, but a lot of it is done via phone or, online. And so maybe people are just willing and desperate to talk to somebody face to face and tell their stories.
Yeah, and that's what it is a lot of the times. Like when I finish some of my interviews, people will say, I'm so glad that you approached me today. I didn't realize I had to talk about some of these things, but actually it's really nice that you asked me what you did. So like some of the questions that I ask people are, what's something in your life you've been thinking about changing, but you haven't started yet? Or what's something that you wish you would have said, but you held your mouth shut? Or have you ever experienced a moment of, I don't know what's next here, but I'm not staying here. It's time for movement. And then just from the questions, everyone answers so differently. So if I go out one day and talk to five people, all five answers are just so unique and so genuine.
Lindy Drew with Humans of St. Louis with us on KMOX. And you also recently, after the tornado from about a week and a half ago, you had the chance to go to the Ville neighborhood and speak to some residents there who have lost homes and have been devastated by what happened. You want to tell people about those? And I know you posted the story on Facebook, but just to give people an idea of the conversations you had.
Yeah, so a good friend of mine who is a well-known photographer in the city, Virginia Harold, we are, you know, total proponents of each other's work, and she had expressed interest in hitting the streets with me one day to see what it's like to go out and hostel. So we call it HOSTL, as in Humans of St. Louis. So I invited her out with me, and we had the idea to start closer to South City, where we lived, and we drove north. So we started in the Central West End, and we kind of hit both sides of Kings Highway. And as we kept talking to people, they said, but we're fine. We might have a tree that fell down in our yard, or we're cleaning up a bunch of debris, but we're okay. You need to go more north. You need to go more north. And so then we found ourselves in the Makerspace District over like north of Delmar, and driving through the streets and kind of weaving and just seeing what was going on. It was such a different feel than looking at photos and videos online. So we had talked to some families in both areas. And then the last interview we did is actually the first one that we shared on the site when we started publishing stories about the tornado. And that's when we made it up to the Ville. And we took a turn down a street, and there was a lady by her house just kind of sitting in a couple long chairs. And we thought, let's talk to them. And we did what I normally do, got out of the car with our cameras. We asked if we could come up the stairs. They said yes. We introduced ourselves. We let them know what the project is. And we just said, would you like to share your story? And they did. And the woman who owned the house that you're speaking about, her name is Miss Stella, and she was outside with a friend and with her niece. And the two of them just launched right into it. And it was so jarring to look at the home behind them as they were telling their story. Miss Stella was in her house when the tornado hit, and she was with her nephew. They made it to the basement and were safe. And when she had come out, she kind of surveyed the house, and the whole top floor was gone, along with lots of photo albums that she said would have been the one thing she would have grabbed if she had enough time. And then she went outside and she saw the houses in her neighborhood leveled as well. And the day that we showed up was just like a day and a half after. And what struck me is that she was so calm, and she had like taken it all in already. And, you know, we just wanted to hear from her about what the memories were she had in her home and what were things she could reminisce on. And she started bringing up how she had a garden and she had peach trees outside and beautiful flowers. And it's where she got married. And just visually, the way she was talking, you could almost paint a picture. So in the end, after the interview, we asked to take her photo, and we walked around the house together and did as much of a 360 as we could with all the debris. And then we asked her for permission again, if we could share it. And she was like, yeah, please do. And what was just wild is, you know, Virginia and I were talking about which story of all the six we got that day should we share. We only spent about 3 hours outside, but we had met so many people and seen so much. And we decided, let's start with Miss Stella's. And so the next day we prepared it all. We posted it on the page, and the comments just started flooding in, And I think what was different about what we were doing is that there was a lot of pictures of destruction, a lot of pictures of surveying the area and drone shots, but people hadn't yet started to do those individual one-on-one, like, right, who are you and who's the person behind the home?
Lindy, I can imagine.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And please elaborate, but I can imagine that as you were talking to folks, and we know that probably 70% of those who had buildings destroyed or damaged did not have property insurance, but there was a feeling of despair. But I also anticipate that you also found a unique vein of resiliency as well.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we're going to see that throughout. And we try to point that out in all of our interviews, too, because the idea of Hostel is not to helicopter into a neighborhood, grab someone's story, and then just use it to put on the site for sensation. The idea is to form a connection with someone quickly, to hear the reality of what they're living or what they lived, and then to share that with a wider audience so that, you know, they can kind of have their 15 minutes of fame or whatnot, but also so people can relate to them, because it's very conversational on the websites. So I think of the people who are the most vulnerable and willing to do the interviews, that's kind of who we share on the page. And to your point, that's kind of the magic that happens. So it is really jarring to hear that some people did not have insurance, or just the fact that, like, maybe insurance won't cover their place. Miss Stella and her niece, Marshall, they spoke about that in their interview. And they were like, we know how these things go. If there's a glitch or, you know, a loophole and our insurance isn't covering the damage of the house, that's going to be a problem. It's not really in our nature on our site to do crowdfunding opportunities for people. We kind of figure that if we put the story out there, other folks can step in, and if they see a need, they'll fill it. Well, the interesting thing is, I was surveying what was happening in the comment section, and somebody ended up posting a GoFundMe for them, and they used our photos and they used our story from Stella's words. So I wrote Marshall, the niece, and was like, do you know this person? And she said, Lindy, she rolled up on us the same way you did. I don't know her from anyone. She started it for us, but I don't know how it runs. And I was letting them know, you know, the most important thing is that you are the recipient of those funds and you're an administrator on that page. And if you're not, somebody may be taking advantage of you, and, like, we need to be careful and look out. So we ended up getting in touch with the lady, and it turns out that the person who did this kind gesture is a previous subject on Humans of St. Louis. I met her 2 years ago. She came in with her mother to tell a story for an opportunity where we invited people to sit down. And when she went back to Stella's house and talked to her and Marshall, she's like, yeah, I know Hostel well, and I'd love for you guys to benefit from this. So let's put your name on the account. Let's get it started. I have more time now. I was just doing it, you know, in a rushed way. And once we all got on the, you know, on a call together to discuss, and it was all, you know, thumbs up, then I added it to her story. And they've reached half their goal already. So they've been able to raise $12,500 for Miss Stella, and it's still going. And it's so interesting because in this moment, with all the destruction and so many people that have been, you know, survivors of what had happened, a lot of people just want to help directly. And I think it's fantastic what organizers and activists are doing to be able to find resources and opportunities to help. And, you know, shout out to For the Culture and Action St. Louis for everything that they're doing and allowing people a space to do that. I think where our comfort zone has always been is one-on-one interviews. And so to be able to share, you know, an individual story, a family story, and then have the audience say, I'd like to help directly. How do I do that? There's a chance to do that with what this young lady, you know, created with her GoFundMe, or now we're adding people's Cash Apps or Venmos directly. And then the subjects are writing me saying, thank you so much. Like, we've collected $700. That's great. I don't know where you came from, but we really appreciate the help.
Yeah, on the GoFundMe page is Help Miss Stella Rebuild After St. Louis Tornado. So if you want to search that out, you can. Lindy, Drew, really great work. the book is very good, and good luck in, you know, continuing to pursue it. And if you decide to write another one or make another one, feel free to have the energy to do it, because this is really cool stuff. So I know that it's difficult and a lot of work. Humansofstl.org is the website. Lindy Drew, the co-founder of Humans of St. Louis, we really appreciate you being with us today. Thank you.
You too, Chris and Brad. Thank you so much for having me.
And also don't forget that we are continuing to raise money here at KMOX, kmox.com/Red Cross. All of the money that we raise will stay right here in St. Louis. It's the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.